I think many of you know that this is a topic that is that I have been grappling with over the past decade, and have in various occasions made some very passionate statements. And voila, here I am. But I think that my presence here is very timely, in that it will be my first opportunity of sharing with you the progress that we have made, even in the past few years. I certainly enjoy meeting and working with Paolo on this issue, and which led to the bill, the oversampling of the Asian population. And I do recall during that discussion, I was not advocating for an oversampling of Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders, because realistically, that was not a practical decision or worthwhile use of limited resources. But I did offer a alternative solution, which I will touch on at the end. Oops, what am I doing wrong? Right here, thank you. So health equity occurs when every individual has a fair opportunity to attain optimal health and well-being. That means addressing social determinants of health and using disaggregated data to inform program design and resource allocation. If we want America to succeed, we must eliminate health disparities and address health equity. Research and survey findings have strong implications for policy and program development. Federal agencies rely on robust data collection to make decisions that ultimately influence the distribution of resources and services nationwide. Examples of those data resources are administrative records and national surveys. Failure to produce highly reliable estimates on numerically small, diverse populations at the national level compromises effective planning and intervention to address their social, economic, and health concerns. And consequently, identifiable segments of the total population risk being overlooked, understudied, and underserved. And I am here to share with you a segment of the population that falls and that meets that definition. And it is the Pacific Islander segment of the population, the API, which since 1997 was given the official category, racial category, of Native Hawaiian and other Pacific Islanders. This is a segment of the population that is very diverse. It has diverse histories, and I wanted to share with you this map. We are represented by that section of the Pacific Ocean, which is the Pacific Basin. Right there in the center, made up of over 20 countries, nationalities, with diverse histories of colonization from Europe and Asia, as well as, they're all Europe and the U.S. It is also a culturally diverse population with distinct languages and distinct physical features, complexions. So a Fijian who falls into a Melanesian, the broader Melanesian category, could in U.S. society be mistaken and interpreted as an African American, as black, and all the stereotypes, the issues associated with being black in America gets applied to a Fijian who in their own mind do not perceive or understand themselves as African American, but a Fijian. But the issues associated with this problem in America affects them. Polynesians, people like myself, get mistaken as Mexican, as Hispanic, just by the mere color of our skin or the facial complexion. So to add to that, we are also we are demographically diverse. As of Census 2010, the U.S. Census Bureau enumerated 1.2 million Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders. On the left column, I wanted to just share with you some of the demographic differences or the differences demographically by the characteristics of our subpopulations. But I'm also sharing with you the populations or the segments of the population that we have data at the census level that is readily available. It does not include the Chukis, the Palauans, the other Micronesians, Polynesians, and Melanesians of the population. So they fall into the designated other. And to the right, an example of data on poverty on this segment of the population. Again, as you can see, a wide distribution across the different subpopulations. Another distinct feature is our political association to the U.S. government. We have U.S. citizens. This is the only racial category where you have U.S. citizens, migrants, and immigrants. And I'm raising this issue because it has implications on the type of services and federal services and resources that are accessible to groups depending on what category you fall into. So, for example, as a U.S. citizen, Native Hawaiians have full access to the federal, state services that are available for care, et cetera. Unlike migrants who may have free access entry into the U.S. and are not required to comply with INS immigration regulations, but do not have access to Medicaid, Medicare, some of the federal programs that are readily available to U.S. citizens. So, and my colleague Alec will elaborate on this point, but as we all know, in 1997, this was a historic moment for this racial category because for the first time, OMB issued a mandate mandating that all federal agencies collect and report data using the revised racial categories, and that led to the disaggregation and the formation of the new racial category, Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders. And this is important, and I wanted to share with you a quote by Catherine Wallman, the chief statistician for the U.S. Office of Management and Budget. When NHPIs are aggregated in the broader Asian category, their real needs are masked. As a result, these communities are often overlooked and may not receive the extra support they need to succeed. This is not rocket science. This is not unique to NHPI and Asians. It's any numerically small population that falls into these broad racial categories that the U.S. relies on for decisions, understanding the needs, and allocation of resources. But it was a major breakthrough for Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders, as you saw earlier, how distinct culture and how different and unique we are. So with that said, looking at some of the data that is available, still lacks reliable information on this population from standard federal resources. Therefore, health researchers and policy advisors have to be creative in exploring possible sources of information. One source of information is administrative records. An example, mortality and natality records, hospital admissions and discharge data, and physician visits reports. While limited in their scope, these data can provide basic information on key indicators. And here's an example, again, historic data, but I wanted to be able to illustrate, as a result of that revised OMB 15 decision, for the first time we can begin to look at death rates for Native Hawaiian and Pacific Islanders by subpopulation. And as you can see, there's even variation when you break down and look at the death rates for different subgroups.
There's data that exists, the problem with existing data for this segment of the population is as it applies to surveys.
And the problem, and that is due to the fact that normal sampling strategies fail to capture a realistic view of the NHPI population, even with pooling over time. And this eliminates almost all survey resources typically used for socioeconomic and health research. I provided you with some examples, and here's a more specific look at the point I just made. And this is just a snapshot of select national surveys. The first column lists the data set from the U.S. Census, American Community Survey, and there's several sources, but what I would like to do is illustrate for you. You look at the first column, you'll see the total sample size for Asian and Pacific Islanders combined, and that's represented by the block in red. But if you go all the way to the right and you see the block in blue, that represents the case size for Native Hawaiians only in that data set. And as you can see, you know, I'm looking at the CPS. We're looking at case sizes from 9 all the way to 125, 20, 54, 74. That's the size of the NHPI sample size for these national surveys. Moving right along, the other issue is that if you look at a lot of the national reporting on health statistics for the nation, NHPIs are reduced to a dot, a dash, or a star. And with another problem with the sampling issues is here's an example. This was taken from the emergency room visit. You had a case of pig bites and crystal meth use, and when you apply the weights, the number of cases seem, you know, inappropriate, and it's funny, it's ridiculous, but it also can be it's not funny because it distorts the reality. So our solution was to come up and develop a Pacific Islander health study, which was completed in 2 years, and it is the first representative study designed to establish baseline information on PI health and their healthcare utilization. It is modeled after the CHIS, National Health Interview Survey, NSAL, and the Chicago Adult Health Study. The survey allowed us to collect data on adult and an adolescent sample. The Samoan sample was randomly selected and derived from LA County. And the Tongan sample was derived from the Tongan sample was derived from San Mateo County. The study period was the last few years. Funding was provided by the Office of Minority Health, Asian Pacific Island American Health Forum, and Kellogg Foundation. So I'm running out of time, but I did want to share with you examples of what we were able to accomplish. As you can see, the measure in the National Health Interview Survey on self-reported health, for the first time we have Pacific Islanders, both the Tongan and Samoan sample represented. The blue bars to your left is the Pacific Islander result. The green bars next to it represents the county results.
derived from the California Health Interview Survey, and the red bar represents the national result. And as you can see, Native Hawaii, these Pacific Islanders are faring relatively poor, or are not faring as well or reporting excellent health as the U.S. population, but favoring bad to good to fair health. Likewise, currently a smoker, again, disproportionately higher percentages of Pacific Islander adults smoking cigarette. And here's the an example of what we were able to learn from the adult sample. But to conclude, I do want to emphasize that disaggregation of API data is essential to an accurate understanding of the needs of this population and to develop meaningful policies and interventions. The Pacific Islander Health Study is a robust and cost-effective model for collecting data on NHP on the population. And the fact that we are a distinct racial category and must be understood separately from the Asian populations to fully comply with the revised OMB 15, but also be more effective in our interventions. I do want to add that federal and state agencies need to adopt the innovative methods to obtain reliable estimates on small populations, and major investments are required if we are serious about the goal of health equity for this population on the continent, Hawaii, and the U.S. associated Pacific Islands. But this goal it must be achieved. And finally, a call for action. Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. And I will provide you with the link. Preliminary findings of the report is available on the web. Thank you.